laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Welcome to Degen and Juice, episode 9, week 8, part 1, part 2 of part 1. Stucky 2 here with me, as always, is Colin Wilson. What's going on, Colin?
Yeah, at underscore Colin 1, at Stucky 2, Degen and Juice, part 1, week 8. It's too many numbers to keep up with, but hey, happy NBA season.
Yeah, this is the reason I said part one, part two is because we actually recorded this last night, Monday night, and then there was a lot of feedback, so we wanted to do it again because we don't want to put anything out that's shitty. So we're recording the podcast that we did last night tonight. So I don't know how it's going to go. It might go a lot better because we already did cover this material, or maybe we're just not as excited about it. But yeah, we can talk about the NBA now too for 1 minute. Yeah, the Gordon Hayward injury. I've never seen Twitter so upset in my life. I thought someone died, it was crazy. I was like, what? What's okay? He got hurt. He broke his legs. Career could be in jeopardy, but it happens. What, he's got nine figures in the bank account.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this video, and people are like, you know, don't watch this. I love Doug Gottlieb. Don't watch this if you get eked out. Well, why are you quote tweeting it, dude? But I mean, it's like, I feel bad for the like digital age we live in, where you see somebody's head blown off all the time. It wasn't that bad of an injury.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Ware, man, his bone was sticking out. I'll never forget seeing that. But yeah, I don't get the whole, oh my God, I'm so upset. I mean, there's a lot worse things going on in the world today. I mean, the Taliban in Afghanistan killed 41 people in some police center. 110 civilians hurt. I mean, there's just other things to be really upset about. It's unfortunate, but whatever. I had the under in the NBA game. Probably the last NBA bet of my season. I usually bet like the first week, and then the last week I had the under, and I never felt comfortable. It hit by like 15 points, and was like, I hate this. So I'm just not cut for the.
That's a great. I mean, it's NBA the grind. NBA. That's why it's so great about the NBA, right? Like, I turned the damn game off. I think they were up 20. I think the Cavs were up 20. Come back and it's tied at the end of the third quarter. It's like the product is such trash. Just wake me up in June.
Yep. That's what I tweeted out. I was like, mate, hopefully Gordon Hayward will be back by the start of the season in May. So
it's a good one.
Let's talk Monday night. We actually both hopped on last night, right after the Monday night cover. Beautiful cover in the NFL. You got a feel for Colts backers, especially if you got the 7. There were some people who bought it to 7.5 that were tweeting at me. It's brutal, 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 brutal. Made the Moose article that was out today. Baseball, Yankees Astros series, awesome. That's just an electric comeback by the Yankees. I mean, that series goes from 3-1, you're dead. You're dead. You know, you have one more with Keuchel, and then 2 in Houston. You're not coming back, especially that young Yankees team who struggles on the road. Now, all of a sudden, tomorrow, Yankees, I mean, the Bronx is going to be on fire. The Cubs look done. They can't pitch. They just walked Yu Darvish on 4 pitches. I mean, are you kidding me? Bases loaded. You walked Yu Darvish on 4 pitches. And the worst thing is they went out and saw Kyle. They went out to Edwards while he was on the mound. And they were like, dude, but that's probably going to get into his head. And he melted down. I mean, he walked 2 outs. He walked Yu Darvish. I've never seen anything like that in the playoffs. But anyway, so let's get into some NFL from not Monday, Super Contest. We had a pretty good weekend. We went 5-0, and I think we're right back in it. I mean, I think we're right where we want to be, right?
Yeah, we're about two games out of the money right now. I think we're 6 games off of the lead, which, you know, we got to have some more 5-0s, some more 4-1s, but, you know, we're sitting in a good spot at this part of the season, because it's, you know, it's only going to get tougher from here on out. And, you know, I think we talked about this before, is that we're sitting at 60%, which is kind of our goal after 12 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. I just want to be in range to make a run in December. So, yeah, that was a really big weekend for us. And I know that one of the games that we both agree on to give a tip for this weekend, I hit it on the opener, still love it at 3, is the Falcons. And, you know, they have Super Bowl revenge, obvious. But I watched that Patriots defense, first defense in NFL history to allow six consecutive quarterbacks to throw for 300-plus yards. And it's not just their secondary. They get no pressure, zero pressure. Matt Ryan is going to be able to sit back and, you know, just pick apart that defense. And I don't know what Patricia's doing. Maybe he should take the pencil out of his ear and write some defensive plays and pressure up. But I love the Falcons next Sunday night in Foxborough.
Yeah, I'm hoping the 3.5 holds on until I get into town. I've already hit it on my offshore accounts, and hopefully I can get some when I get into town to Vegas this weekend. Because, I mean, I was looking at New England's numbers, and their yards per play on defense is worst in the league. It's 6.6 yards per play on defense, which isn't even close to, like, the even yards per play on defense, which is, like, 6.0. So New England is having a really hard time stopping people.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that they're in first place right now, but I'm not a big fan of New England this year if they don't get these problems corrected on the defensive side of the ball. You're headed to Vegas this weekend? Could you tell me that?
Yeah, I'm going to go out to Vegas, and I'm going to enjoy myself, take some time. It was a good weekend.
Thanks for the invite, by the way. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, I'm going out there. I have tickets to a Knights game. I'm going to sit up against the glass and turn around and wave at Slam, who's up in the upper decks. And I think I'm going to have some blow off some steam and get some bets in and get my blackjack in and find a nice sportsbook spot for the Falcons and Patriots on Sunday night. It was actually a pretty good week college football-wise. To not be so, you don't need to have eyeballs on everything that's going on between, say, 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock on Saturday, because it's a pretty down day for college football.
Yeah, I think there's a lull. You have Penn State, Ohio State next weekend, major blockbuster game. Although that line came out at 9.5, I think the early line on that game. Mm-hmm. Is that where you have it at, around there?
Yeah, I got it at 10.5, so it's right there on the spot. It just depends on what your home field advantage is.
Yeah, I was hoping for under 7, like a Penn State. I mean, is there a chance that Penn State? I don't think it can go from 9.5 to under 7. But if Penn State beat Michigan by 30 or something this week, but Ohio State's off has the bye, right? And before that game,
yeah, Ohio State's off of a bye. Penn State is on.
They have Michigan.
Yeah. Penn State's off Michigan, and then they're on. I'm sorry, they're on travel to Ohio State, and then I was thinking the real winner of all this is Sparty, which on November 4th gets Penn State on back-to-back travel after Michigan and Ohio State. On November 4th, Sparty gets to host Penn State. So
yeah, Ohio State has major revenge, too, from that loss in Happy Valley last year. Yeah, so maybe we'll have to look at laying that. But yeah, one side that I actually put in on Sports Action app and tweeted out, I love the under in Penn State, Michigan this weekend as a little teaser. I think I got it at 42. But if you look at a lot of the yards per play, both pass and rush defense and overall, both of those teams are, you know, in the top, some of those stats are in the top 1 and 2. And then, you know, most of them, they're in the top 15 overall. I think Penn State's going to have trouble rushing the ball. The Michigan offense is disgusting. Can of corn. I don't expect to do much on the road. I expect Harbaugh to come out and run just a heavy dose of run. A lot like last week, that should have went under. Do you have any feel there in that game, just as a jump ahead?
I can't disagree with you on the Michigan game because, you know, they have the number one defensive efficiency team in the nation. So, you know, in Berkeley, Penn State's had these gaps where they've had problems running the ball. So I mean, if it's not a full game under you're going to take, I don't see why not taking a first half under, because I think they're going to be feeling their way out at least through the first couple quarters.
Yeah, it's a good point. It looks like a good first half under on paper as well. And speaking of some of those stats, one of the funniest stats that I came across is I was looking at the defensive yards per play stats today. And the, you know, if you look at the rush yards per attempt, you know, Washington's number one at 2.2 yards, and then you have Bama, Michigan and Penn State in their top 15. If you look at pass yards per attempt on defense, Michigan and Penn State are actually 1-2. But the funniest stat that I came across is actually on the offensive side of the ball. If you look at passing yards per attempt, Oklahoma leads the country, 12.5 yards passing per attempt. The team that's last in the country is Army. They're passing yards per attempt 3 yards. If they have three average completions, they're punting the ball. Just a shocking stat.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Oklahoma's yards per play differential is like 3.3, which is I think now Oklahoma State's got them beat just a little bit, but it's pretty asinine what Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, you know, these it's Big 12 offenses, I guess, for you.
Yeah, and to tease some. So this is part one of the Degena Juice podcast, where we will look back at Saturday's card, what we learned from the weekend that was. We'll look at the weekday games, and then, you know, on part two of the podcast, which will come out on Thursday, that's when we'll do a really deep dive into Saturday's card. Some things to look out for this week on the Sports Action app. Colin has a new piece that he introduced and debuted last week, a futures piece looking at, okay, let's look at the updated landscape of college football and determine if there's any value from a futures perspective, looking at, okay, where do these teams sit now? Are there any value after a loss? You know, last week we recommended to get in on a Wisconsin 25-1. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a piece that's coming out tomorrow, Wednesday, on that. Then CW9 piece, which went 7-2 last week, so good work there. Actually probably should have went 9-0. Georgia Southern and San Jose State unders both really should have hit. That CW9 will come out on Friday. My six pack will come out on Saturday, and then Sunday morning coffee on Sunday. So keep your eye out for all those. So let's get into a recap of the weekend. I'll start with my favorite game of the weekend, and then I'll ask you what yours was. I'm going to go Minnesota. I mean, being that I spent late at night last game, I was about to just have a small winning day, you know, and that made it a decently average day. And Minnesota getting in that back door, I mean, epic, epic back door for the Gophers, who were down 17 in the fourth quarter. And they found Michigan State went backwards and missed a field goal. And then Minnesota went down, converted on a 4th-and-7 and then a 3rd-and-long, and then got in the back door the minute to go. Shout out to Fleck for getting in the back door. So all I needed was you to get off the Minnesota and UNLV win.
Yeah, PJ Fleck obviously knew that I was finally stopped writing about them in the CW9 and that you had jumped on them. And so he tried to cover for you. Like, and I don't know what is with the weather with these Minnesota games. It seems to follow them around. They've got some of the worst weather of the entire week. So that's something to keep your eye on. As far as me, my favorite game of the week was USC and Utah. It's happening at the same time as Arkansas-Bama. So Arkansas-Bama had my prime, big screen attention while I had USC on another TV. And once I got down 21-7, I started looking at the drive log. I found out that it was kind of on trick plays, and USC was, you know, fumbling and screwing up and throwing the ball around and allowing Utah to get three scores up. And I decided to hop in live plus 190 on USC to win the game. And they had the lead all the way to the end until, you know, Utah had a touchdown, you know, with no time left on the clock. And instead of kicking the PAT for overtime, you know, because they probably remember what USC did against Texas, they decided to go for two. And, you know, Troy Williams got flushed out of the pocket, and he was just short of ending any shot USC probably has at winning the national title.
Yeah, that was a great game, and I thought Williams, who had a drive at Utah to beat them last year, was going to do it again to Trojans fans, but USC did hold on there, so good call on getting them live. Best call of the weekend, I'm going to go – I had UConn plus 10.5, and, best call usually, it's no doubt, no sweat, and I didn't sweat from the start of that game. I just kind of – you know, some of it was, I think UConn is a little undervalued, but a lot of it was, is Temple really laying 10.5 in this spot? I mean, I don't think they should be 10.5 point favorites against, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor. But so I'll go with the Huskies. How about you?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a plus 300. That was more than plus 300 as a moneyline dog if you had that in any running parlays. For me, it was a really good Saturday. It was a collection of dirty, dirty group of five teams, Boise, North Texas, UAB, but I'm going to go with Idaho. Idaho up in the Kibbe Dome. They're on their swan song for the FBS before they head down to the FCS with little baby brother Petrino. So, you know, the whole thing behind Idaho was, it was two things. The fact that Appalachian State is having some serious issues covering against some really bad teams in the Sun Belt, which it's like Texas State. They had to have a fourth quarter comeback to beat the Bobs. And, against New Mexico State, they had to have a heck of a comeback in. So something's going on with that App State team, and doing a deep dive on the Mountaineers, it looks like they have one of the least efficient offenses in all of FBS, and they're relying way too much on the big play, way too much on the explosive plays because they're top 10. And the one thing I noticed out of Idaho is that their defense is actually top 20 and allowing explosive plays. So taking that into the game, I was hoping Idaho could, I figured they'd at least cover the 13. I wanted them to pull it off, but here we go. App State again, fourth quarter, rattled off a number of points and won the game just by three. Something to take note of. Georgia State is really the only tough team, considering, you know, anybody's power ratings. Georgia State's the only one that's making some rumblings inside of the Sun Belt, and App State has to play them. And so that's definitely a game that I've got circled for taking some dog action.
Yeah, I would say that with App State, every week in the fourth quarter, I feel like they're down 14, and then all of a sudden they're up 7 5 minutes later. I don't know. Who's luckier, App State or Miami?
Miami, it has to be the exact last play of the game for Miami to win the game and cover.
Yeah, unbelievable. At least Miami didn't cover this week against Georgia Tech, but that was, 2 weeks in a row. They stole two wins, and, you know, they march on. I hope Cuse beats them this week. Worst call of the weekend. All right, let me eat my crow here. We talked about it last week on the podcast. I was like, I might do it. It's going to be a miserable Saturday morning. And I did it, and I bet Kansas. I put them in my six pack, and I regretted that within, I'm going to say, 4 minutes into the game. I mean, it was that bad. And Iowa State was flat. I mean, this is how the game started. Iowa State took the ball on a 5 minute drive into Kansas territory, and they punted. I'm like, let's go. Forcing a punt. Iowa State's sleepy. Kansas starts, they obviously down it inside the Kansas 5. Kansas starts at their own 4, and they throw a pick on the first play of the game. And Iowa State returns it to the Kansas 8, and then they score. And then Iowa State kicks it off, and then they punt. And then eventually, this game's just sitting at 7-0 for a while, and then Iowa State returns a punt for a touchdown. And then Kansas has a punt go over their head. And then Iowa State scores again. Iowa State had won 45-0. They had 300 total yards of offense. Kansas had 106 total yards, and they had 80 yards of penalties. They had 4 first downs. This is a Power 5 team. They were 2-for-18 on third and fourth down. And I mean, it was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And it was a noon start. Iowa State did come out sleepy. But Kansas just doesn't let you be sleepy. They're like, oh, you're sleepy? Here's a pick six so you can get excited. I mean, they're exactly bad. And then you're going to tell me I have to bet them, right, against this week? Jesus.
Yeah. I know you're going to have to turn around and you're going to play them this week because the Jayhawks own TCU against the number. 4 years in a row, not only are they covering, but they've had some almost last-second upsets of the Horned Frog. So, I'm just sitting back, and it's something that I've said in the CW9. I'm just going to let that number bake for a while. We've got it up to 39.5 at Bookmaker. I think I don't know what the key numbers are above 35, if it's 38 and then 41 and then 42, but obviously we're just going to let that thing go because I can't imagine a rush of public money hitting the Jayhawks on Saturday morning.
I don't know if this is sad or funny, but when I was sitting there watching this game, and obviously once it got to the point where I knew that Kansas wasn't going to cover, I started to hear your voice. Like, it was like I was recording the podcast telling me that I'm going to have to bet Kansas next week against, and my stomach started to churn. I guess you'll convince me to be on Kansas. Hopefully they can at least just not throw up on themselves. But how about for you? What was your worst call of the weekend?
Yeah, so I didn't put it in the CW9 because I wasn't that uncomfortable with it. I'm not going to say my worst call was Georgia Southern lost by a half point, or my worst call was the Hawaii under, which lost last second, last couple minute play there down on the island at about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I did play on the Sports Action app, which you should be using if you're making any bets, trying to track them whatsoever. I did play Auburn -7, and I knew with the series and the way that they always play each other close and the way things go with LSU and how they have their way with Auburn, I should have known better in playing this game. But I just fell in love with Auburn's efficiency numbers and explosive rankings. And I think that this is a lesson learned for me that is, LSU had a bunch of injuries to start the season, especially that Mississippi State game. They were missing key parts of their defense, including Arden Key. And now Arden Key is healthy and they're at least, they're producing better than they were a month ago. But I decided to, not take any of that into account and keep focusing on the fact that I loved Auburn's number. So Auburn -7 was, it was a good bet for one quarter, and for three quarters, it was a terrible bet.
Yeah, I mean, you were looking pretty there. They were up 17-0. The funny thing is I actually went against you. I don't like going against you in college football. Sharks just scored a goal. I don't like going against you in college football, but I actually played LSU. And the funniest part about that is one of the things that put me over the edge was your numbers on the game, your power rating. Because you had it at a 1. And then
I did.
So
completely
went against your numbers.
Yeah, completely went against it.
So, all right, that's your worst call. Bet regret. My bet regret, I wish I played Boise because I always fade San Diego State, but I missed the number. I fade San Diego State every week. But I'll say Boston College. I've heard a lot of rumors that Louisville's actually quit. Oh, and tip Florida State this weekend. Hammer. -6.5. 40-point revenge. I think Louisville quit from what I watched and what I was hearing before then. There's some rumors that Petrino's going to Tennessee and who knows. But I was sitting there watching the line and it started dropping and I was like, oh, I missed this line. It kept going down. I was like, I really want to play BC and I didn't. And then they actually won outright. So that's probably my bet regret for the week. How about you?
Yeah, so mine is going to be not laying enough on Arizona because I knew what Khalil Tate's doing down there from a rushing standpoint and how well he's playing quarterback. And, you know, we said this at the beginning of the season. What's going to happen to UCLA once they start losing some games and Rosen starts looking at the NFL and Moore starts coming in on the hot seat? And, you know, Arizona has been so fantastic on the ground, and UCLA is one of the worst in the nation at defending the rush. And so I guess my biggest bet regret is not getting in on Arizona and not being, having more of a footprint on that game when I knew what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah, I can't believe you're a Dick Rod fan now. By the way, you know that gif where the guy, you know, you have Homer Simpson who has something on and then he goes behind the bush and then comes out wearing something else.
He's got something else, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, I'm trying to think, are me in the beginning of the year, that would be me wearing Northwestern jersey and then I would be coming out wearing a Wisconsin jersey, which is because now I'm invested in Wisconsin. For you, it had to be
Boise.
You came out with a Boise or an Arizona jersey now.
Right.
Dick Rod's covering now. You probably started with, I know who you started with. You started with a Wyoming jersey.
Yep.
Or UNLV.
UNLV, it's been burned. That Wyoming UNLV, those jerseys are burned, and I'm now proudly wearing Boise and Arizona kit.
So, three things learned from this weekend. I'll start. I mean, I think it was a big weekend for Team Chaos. So we're going to go into the top 25 rundown. I mean, in fact, I'll go into that right now. It was a huge weekend for underdogs, for college, NFL. No matter if you were a dog better, you had an enormous weekend. Just to wrap up some of the numbers for the weekend, and it started on Friday when you had two top 10 teams go down. You had Clemson go down. You had Washington State go down, and then you actually had Washington go down late Saturday night. But overall in the weekend, underdogs finished 34-22-2. And we had a number of double-digit underdogs win outright. Unders finished 35-24 in college football. We even had a double-digit dog win on Sunday in college football. That's how crazy this weekend was. It was a great weekend for Team Chaos, though, because if you're sitting there with a South Florida or Central Florida, you have this Clemson loss. They can maybe sneak in there, Washington maybe still, but say NC State beats Clemson or now Auburn beats Alabama after their second loss. I think it was a big, big weekend for Team Chaos. And then I would say Miami's so lucky. But are they Clemson of last year? Are they just one of those teams that just get confidence from these lucky wins? I don't know. I still think they lose to Va Tech. And then I also learned that the Vols are done. They're beyond bad, and they look lifeless, especially on offense. Three things that you learned?
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with UConn about how their explosiveness is real. They were ranked 20th in the country in explosiveness, and you're right, Temple is pretty terrible. Don't know where the ceiling, or I'm sorry, where the floor is for them this far into the season. Look for UConn to keep this going maybe for two more games as they face two teams that are outside of the top 100 and explosive plays allowed in Tulsa and Missouri. So keep your eye on UConn. West Virginia, they got manhandled by Texas Tech, 513 yards to 396. So it was kind of a fraudish victory, and Texas Tech just couldn't convert it into enough points to win that game. I've got my eyes clearly on Baylor for the CW9 this weekend. Both teams are in the top 25 as far as explosiveness goes, so you might want to keep your eyes on that. And then number three, we've already talked about it. Yeah, I've taken off the jersey, the kit, whatever you want to call it, in the bush. I've burned it. Wyoming is a complete fraud. Utah State outgained them 363-293. Utah State had five turnovers, and Wyoming still only won that game by 5 points. You know, that they're a defense optional team. They were last year. I chose to ignore that this year. They only play defense at home. They never play it on the road. Well, this year they're never playing defense no matter where they're at. So, you know, they're going to Boise this week. I think they're absolutely going to get curb stomped.
Yeah, like it. And let's get into the top 25 rundown. So the segments that we do, we just did a quick recap of our weekend. We'll go through the top 25. We'll do a weekday preview, and then we'll kind of sign off here. I already mentioned before the major upsets. You had Washington, Clemson, Washington State. I think that you would agree that neither of us were believers in Washington State. So let's focus on Washington and Clemson here. You saw last year with Clemson, they lost to Pitt. They still were able to get to the playoff, and they won it all, even though they should have lost probably a few other games. Were either of these losses really that meaningful, or you know, are they still in pretty good shape, both teams?
I'd say Clemson's in good shape. I'd say Washington is not, because Washington still has to go to Stanford. They lost their left tackle, Trey Adams. They lost their cornerback, Jordan Miller. That's a big loss for them in that secondary. And Clemson, hey, they had one to burn. They've burned it. They've got still, you know, they've still got Georgia Tech to go. They've still got a huge NC State game that's now a must-win. Of course, the ACC championship game if they make it. So Clemson's burned their freebie, but at the same time, they're still very much alive and very much in it. As to where Washington, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. I think Clemson has a bye this week, so we'll see how they respond. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that NC State game. Teams in the top 25 that did handle their business, you had NC State, TCU, Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, UCF, USF. UCF continues to just roll everybody. Ohio State, Stanford, Georgia, and Bama. Do you have any takeaway from any of these teams, or just pretty much a standard week for them?
A standard week for everybody. I'm going to know a lot more about Central Florida after this week, because Navy is just ringing all kinds of bells for me this week. So pay attention for that later this week.
Yeah, and your wild games of the weekend in the top 25, LSU-Auburn, which we talked about, crazy game. Michigan State-Minnesota, from a betting perspective, probably the craziest game of the weekend. And Memphis-Navy, that's actually was kind of moosey as well. Navy was, if you had laid 3.5 with Memphis, which it was most of the week, Navy ended up getting a touchdown and then 2-point conversion to lose by 3 late. They also had a safety. Memphis fumbled in the red zone with like 5 minutes to go. Pretty moosey there, but Memphis had their first win in school history against Navy, and we'll get to that game they played during the week. We'll get to them soon. Go ahead.
We got to mention North Texas. I mean, we got to mention our art school out of Denton, Texas. And when I'm tweeting Mean Green at 11 p.m. at night on my third vodka, that means, hey, they came back from, you know, against a UTSA, against a team that was probably going to win their division as one of the top teams in Conference USA. You know, North Texas came back and won outright as a dog.
A stunning moose in that game as well. UTSA was laying 2.5. They were up 4. And with like a minute to go, and they decided to punt, and it with a minute to go, they punted from like the North Texas 45 or something. They downed it at the 2, and North Texas had the ball at their own 2 with a minute to go and no timeouts, and they scored a touchdown as time expired. They threw a Hail Mary from the end zone to like the 50 that they completed by the sidelines. Go check out the Moose article. It was crazy. But yeah, huge win for North Texas. Mean Green. We'll give Iowa a run, actually. You know, teams that survived barely. We mentioned USC. You know, their season would have been effectively over if they lose that game. We'll get into your thoughts on them versus Notre Dame in the second part of Degen and Juice on the podcast that'll come out on Thursday. Michigan, poor Indiana. I mean, in overtime again, Michigan escapes in overtime after Indiana forced it on a 46-yard field goal as time expired. So they survive and they go to Penn State this weekend. Michigan's offense is horrendous, but the D is really, really good. Miami gets lucky again. Oklahoma escapes Texas, and then West Virginia goes on a 29-0 run. Great work by Kingsbury to end the game from down 18 to winning by 11. Curious to get your thoughts, just updated thoughts on the Big 12. Is there any, what are you seeing? Is there anything worth investing in from a futures perspective? It seems to just be, I assume you don't think TCU's going undefeated. What do you see here?
Hey, you and I talked about this offline. It's just, for me, I'm so hesitant to lay money with anybody because TCU's undefeated while there's all these teams that currently have one loss in the conference over. So what they're going to do is for the championship game, they're going to take the number one and number two seed. Well, the problem is right now is like over half the teams in the league qualify for that number two spot, including a 3-3 Texas team that only has one loss. So, I mean, this is very much wide open. It's a round robin schedule. So you can't really sit there and look at the schedule and say, well, this team X is going to be favored by double digits from here on out. So I definitely should take a future on them. It's real. There's lots of wild stuff to, and I think the conference is just going to cannibalize itself. So I'm not even sure there's a point in taking a future on somebody that, you know, very may well end up losing a game where they have to play somebody for a second time, in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that offline we did an exercise where we were looking at some potential futures. And I think that besides Wisconsin last week that we took, I think that Virginia Tech actually holds some value. But, you know, if we think they're going to beat Miami, but we'll get into that in the article that will be released tomorrow as well as this podcast. But just if anyone was interested in an Oklahoma State future after what has happened recently, which I was, and Colin actually brought up a great point because I said, you know, I think they beat Texas this weekend and I think they beat Oklahoma, in Stillwater. And then they'd have, you know, presumably TCU in the conference championship, who I think they beat. So we, Colin was like, 15-1, I think, is that what they're at now?
It was 14-1. So we had to whip out the old parlay calculator for the what if I ran an open money line card? And for the, you want to explain that for people that don't have access to something like that?
Yeah. So if, you know, like say if you had an account with five dimes, you could open up an open parlay. So some books allow you to do that where, you know, you would open up an open 18 parlay, which means, you know, say today I like the Yankees. I could bet the Yankees and fill one slot. If it hits, I still have those seven slots open to fill. So sometimes when you're looking at a future, you know, you can determine, all right, let me project these lines. And, you know, we use some assumptions, based on Colin's power ratings and then who would be a potential opponent in the conference championship. And, you know, you kind of want to use more conservative assumptions. And if your open money line, open parlay pays out a higher odds than a future, I mean, there's no sense in investing in the future. Now, sometimes my argument against that is that things can happen. So who knows? I mean, you know, Oklahoma State could get TCU in the conference championship and Kenny Hill gets suspended before the game and all of a sudden they're 14 point favorite. Who knows? But, you know, for the most part, if you're looking at, you know, a statistical approach to this, you can, and you do have money line open parlays available to you, it can be an option that can sway you to either take the future or not. So I think that we determined using our assumptions that in money line open parlay, if you parlayed Oklahoma State every game from now until they got to the championship, what would be 25-26-1?
Yeah, we came up with 25-26-1. So if you have access to that, it's a better, you know, we're looking at it purely from a value perspective because what you're trying to do is hedge, right? I mean, there's going to come a time where you're going to say, well, maybe I want to get out of this or maybe I want to ensure that I get my money back at least. So with 14-1 versus a 25-1, you know, you certainly have more wiggle room the bigger the number you can get.
Yeah, there's also an diminished, like a burden to it, but you just got to remember to do it each week.
I fire up my Outlook calendar. It's hilarious because I have all these meetings in my Outlook calendar, and I also have like Sunday and Monday reminders like this is the week that you're going to try to hedge out of a Buffalo under 3.5 total.
speaking of which, the West Virginia, we need them to lose.
Yes,
this week, but at least Rutgers football for the first time, I think in my life, came through for me, beating Illinois, who I think we should be safe under 3.5 now.
Yeah, Purdue, I think, is the only winnable game, and they're at 2 wins, so we should be okay.
I can't wait until the last game of the year when Northwestern runs the table up until that game, and then they lose to Rutgers, and we lose to Illinois and Northwestern at the same time. Anyway, so let me ask you a question. Gun to your head right now, who wins the Big 12 championship?
Not TCU. Let me do a process of elimination in my head. I don't like how TCU...
I already pulled the trigger, man.
You're done. Oh, then it's Oklahoma State.
All right, Oak State. And then does the Big 12 winner go to the playoff?
No.
Wow. That'll be devastating for Big 12. They get the playoff in there, and then they don't get a team in.
They're doing everything they can to try to get in. You know, they made this bogus conference championship game. They're doing everything. What? Just put in one single undefeated team. Can you do that? Can you have one quality team?
Oh, man. That'd actually be pretty entertaining to watch. But, I mean, I can't put – or if Oklahoma wins it, I can't justify putting them in. You lost to Iowa State. That loss is bad. It's not going to stack up. At least Oklahoma State, their only loss right now is to TCU. But how about weirdest result of the weekend? Tulsa, Houston, or Tulane, Florida International?
I'm going to go with FIU because that really was kind of out of the blue for me. I thought Tulane was getting a little overrated for – they were catching some teams with that option tack that they have. Tulsa really – You know, I said this last week over Twitter that one of the articles I said, I know what it was. I got into Felica's mentions. Felica said something about, you know, Tulsa's on the down. And I said, well, they've faced three options. They've faced three option teams in a row. And even as favorites, they've lost straight up. So obviously, Philip Montgomery, who's, you know, an offensive, you know, coach, you know, in the head coaching position, Tulsa's defensive coordinator does not know how to defend option attacks whatsoever. So after 3 weeks of losing badly, even, you know, getting blanked, I think, by New Mexico, they come out and they come out and win a game and just boat race last weekend. And I think it's more of a product of Tulsa against option offenses, which they don't have for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they were the worst rush defense in the country. And you know what's amazing? The worst rush defense, rush yards per time now, is UCLA. That's shocking. That UCLA is worse than ECU or whoever. I mean, think about the athletes that they can get. Speaking of Houston, let's get into some of the weekday games. So we have six games this week. We have no degenerate specials on Tuesday and Wednesday. There's baseball on, hockey, you'll have some NBA. So no big deal there. But on Thursday, we have two games. We have Laffey at Ark State. Ark State laying... Looks like there's resistance at the 14. I think it looked like it was going to touch there, but it's sitting around 12.5 right now. What do you see here?
So the number is spot on. I've got it at 13. You know, the number's sitting at 12.5. It looks like it's actually going to go down a little bit. And when it does go down a little bit, if we can catch maybe an 11, I'll probably be on Arkansas State. There's a major hole here between... I almost said Indians again, between what the Red Wolves are doing offensively with their efficiency versus ULL on defense. ULL's efficiency on defense is terrible. They're allowing anybody to score. They're allowing anybody to move the chains. They're okay against explosive plays, but they're not good at letting teams get out of third down. So for me, it's Arkansas State or nothing, and I'm just going to sit and wait and hopefully take the last number, which could be an 11 or maybe even a 10.
I want no part of this fun doll mess. So Memphis at Houston. The line seems – I think the line opened at 3.5, but it's sitting, it looks like it flat threes everywhere. I mean, juiced differently at some shops. Houston laying 3 after getting blown out by Tulsa. Memphis, who, you know, we mentioned earlier, they beat Navy for the first time in school history. Second time they beat a ranked opponent. They beat UCLA. UCLA was ranked. Hilarious. But the last time they beat a ranked opponent in the Liberty Bowl, the next week they played Southern Illinois and were flat as hell. You know, not necessarily the same spot here, comparing Houston to Southern Illinois, but just thought it's worth noting. What do you see in this game? I don't see much.
Yeah, I don't see anything really either. The number's spot on at 3. There's plenty of public tickets, and the money is coming in on Memphis, but that's actually kind of the side I like, even though there's no big discrepancies in efficiencies and explosive plays. Keep your eye on the injury report. They got three starters listed as questionable from Memphis. And then there's an offensive lineman that's out for Houston. So keep your eyes on it. But for me, this is a no-play game.
Yep. And then those are the two games on Thursday. Don't see much.
Friday. Interested to hear your take on Thursday, the NFL game. So I know we have to decide on our Super Contest picks this week. There's this little voice in my head that's telling me, by the way, this is the Raiders season. But mm-hmm. I mean, people were all about them. You know, I think that one book, they dropped down the Super Bowl favorites before the year. If they lose this game, they go to 2-5 in that division. They still have a game against the Patriots. I know we both think are terrible, but they play the Patriots in Mexico. They still have to go to the Chiefs. They play the Cowboys. They go to the Eagles, at the Chargers. There's a little voice in my head that says Oakland wins, but they look.
And not to mention the Raiders get a Patriots team down in Mexico City the week after they play in Denver, so they're like on double altitude travel. The Patriots are, so Oakland gets a really sweet spot down there. Coming up Thursday night for me, it's Oakland or nothing. Cause you're right. It's a must win game. When I look at the yards per play differential and I make a point spread off of that, the line actually does come out to 3.5. So the line is pretty spot on. I think it's going to be, one hell of a battle, but I'm siding with the team that's got the motivation that thinks that their season's on the line here.
Yeah. And it's crazy that Carr, out of all NFL quarterbacks, has the fewest attempts and completions of deep passes, 20 plus in the NFL. Crazy. Their receivers are not doing much. Their best receiver this year has been Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm going to look hard at the Raiders. There's this little voice in my head that's telling, but Kansas City owns that division. What, they're 0-3 against the Steelers since the start of last year, and 17-3 versus everyone else. I think they've won 15 straight in the division.
Yeah, they got some crazy trend splits going on there. I think the biggest thing for me that I was keeping my eye on is Tyreek Hill and him, but he's probable now with a concussion. So probable he's going to play. He should be fine. But, I mean, that was a huge flag if Tyreek Hill was going to be out.
Yeah, so we'll have more on that. Keep an eye out to see if we play anything there. But Friday games, you have Western Kentucky at Old Dominion. Oh, Old Dominion is bad. They got steamed last week because their running back came back, and then they just got blown out. This line looks like it might touch 10, which I don't know if how Western Kentucky – I don't know how you touch this game. Both teams are pretty bad. Western Kentucky minus 9.5 at Old Dominion. Do you see anything here?
I can't touch either of these teams. Old Dominion is just as bad as you made it. They're worse than what you – I mean, you really were kind of nice to them right there. They're really bad. Western Kentucky, this new coach is not in the Petrino and Brohm mold. I mean, Western Kentucky's explosiveness is 122nd in the nation. That's pretty insane when they had a returning quarterback that was probably the complete opposite in explosive plays last year. So I don't know what's going on with them right now, but I'm not backing either of these teams.
Western Kentucky dead last in the country in rush yards per attempt. A little over 10.
Crazy.
Stay away from that game. One of the ugliest games of the week. Old Dominion got blown out by North Carolina. That's all you need to know. Marshall at Middle Tennessee State. Marshall, I think, has been a covering machine. You hate Marshall, by the way, so I'm assuming you're going to say Middle Tennessee State. I don't know. Richie James is back from Middle Tennessee State. Is Stock still back yet? What do you see here?
Yeah, Brent Stockstill is listed as doubtful with his collarbone. He's got the same thing going on that Aaron Rodgers has going on right now, except he's a little bit further in his progression with the healing part. Marshall, to me, is overvalued in this. I've actually got Middle Tennessee State as a -1. The current line right now is sitting Marshall -3, so I am going to have a Middle Tennessee State play on this. And one of the big things about this is the way to beat Middle Tennessee State and embarrass them is to be able to rush the ball on the ground, because their defense cannot handle anything up the middle, anything around the edges. And Marshall's terrible at rushing the ball. They're 120th in the nation in rushing success rate. So I'm playing Middle Tennessee State. And frankly, right now, it's just a matter of me watching everybody pound this Marshall line, and maybe I can get a hook out of this before kickoff.
What did Marshall ever do to hurt you?
So in 2013... they had that was the year that I won your Survivor contest. Yep. You ready for a good story? You don't even know this, do you?
No, I mean, I haven't heard of this.
All right. So I was in your Survivor contest in 2013, and I made it all the way to the final week of the season, and I was in it with 6 guys. And it was for a good pot, man. It was a really good pot. It was a good contest. It was, college football. Pick a winner every week, and the spread can't be above 10. So you had to take.
I love those ones.
Yeah. So short favorites or even dogs, but you had to pick one every week off of the slate.
And you could repeat.
And you could repeat, right, yeah. Right, because sometimes the slate wasn't that big. There wasn't that many. You know, there would be weeks where we had a whole bunch of games over a double-digit spread. So it was really tough. And I was navigating through this thing, and I was like, oh, my God, I think I can win this thing, and I'm pretty sure I can win this thing. And then it came down to some asshole, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but there was the final six of us. We made it through the entire regular season, and you said, okay, guys, we're going to put it to a vote. Do you want to do conference championships? And I said no. There was five other guys that said no, and one guy in the group said, yeah, we have to do this one more week and do conference championships. I was like, shit, man, just split the pot, right? Don't be greedy. There's plenty of money in here for everybody. So I ended up playing Marshall against Rice in the conference USA championship, where Marshall was, I think, a 9-point favorite against Rice, and Rice beat the ever living hell out of Marshall. And ever since that day, and it was the most amazing thing in the history of I mean, I've gambled way more money than what was on the line in this, but all six of us that were in that contest in 2013, we lost that day, and we still split the pot. All six of us lost.
I remember that. There was a game at night that one guy needed, and then he lost, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Marshall got rocked, 41-24. I'm reading about this game right now because this is hilarious.
And it was early. It was an 11 a.m. kick. I was just sitting there. I was throwing things. I was pacing. I was going through vodka, and I was so mad.
And then you guys split anyway.
Yep.
I remember that. That was so funny. I wish I could remember what the game was at night. I'll have to go back and dig it up. Anyway, okay, well, now I know why you hate Marshall. So take anything that Colin says about Marshall on this podcast, take with a grain of salt. But Middle Tennessee State now, I think they're actually catching three everywhere. I actually do like Middle Tennessee State a little bit here. I don't love them. I'm going to dig into it a little more. Here's an ugly game for you. Air Force laying 5.5 at Nevada. Nevada is a weird team. They usually get blown out, but every once in a while they'll almost beat Northwestern and almost beat Colorado State. Air Force coming off a ridiculous comeback win at UNLV. They trailed 27-0 at the half and came back to win. Air Force cannot defend anybody. Do you see anything here? You're going to make me bet this game?
Yeah, I'm going to make you bet it. We're definitely going Nevada in this spot. My Sunday morning coffee line actually had Air Force as a double-digit favorite in this. So the number is not anywhere near where I expected it to be. But, you know, maybe it'll turn that way with as much as it's being hammered by the public on the Air Force side. It doesn't matter to me. I like Nevada because Air Force is the worst team in the nation in allowing explosive plays. They are 130th, which means you can't get any worse. Nevada is actually 21st in explosive plays. So to me, you know, when I don't have an edge in the number and I just want to lay off the game, there could be some reverse line movement. There's a lot of, you know, things that you key in on when you try to pick a side. For me, explosive plays at this time of year is really, if I see a huge discrepancy, especially 100 points in rankings and ISO PPP plus, for those of you out there that use Football Outsiders, it's almost an autoplay. So Nevada has moved from 5.5 up to a 6, and I'm just going to sit around and try to get the best number on these guys.
Fair enough. Colorado State at New Mexico. We talked about this on yesterday's podcast, which is this podcast. But I said that I like Colorado State -7. I wish I would have grabbed them because now it would cost me the hook to play them. They're at -7.5. New Mexico's coming off a game where they got, I think it was around a pick against Fresno. It was 38-0. Colorado State, this line seems artificially low, but I think Colorado State gets refocused from, you know, that scare last week against Nevada. And they've been good on the road. You know, they went to Hawaii, handled their business. They were competitive at Bama. But they haven't played an option team this year. But do you see anything in this game?
No, you know, the number is spot on for me as far as the explosiveness and the efficiencies go. It's just slight advantages to Colorado State. But, you know, you're right. If you look in the history of this, Colorado State, I think, has covered this game every year the past 3 years. And that would be, you know, Bobo versus Davey. So, you know, I lean Colorado State, but you know what? Everybody else is too. And for some reason, this number is pretty stable on the 7, 7.5, depending on what book you're looking at. So, for me, it may be a stay away game here because it's one of those early Friday, you know, the favorite on the road on a Friday night against a team that looked embarrassed. It just got embarrassed a few days ago. So I'm not exactly sure if I'm going to roll with the fish and roll with the stream and with the rest of the public here, or if I'm just going to lay off.
Fresno State national champs. The we're gonna come up with merchandise on the Action Network and for Sports Action later in the year with like national after each season national champions from like degenerate national champions. So like if the year ended right now,
Buffalo. It'd
actually be Buffalo. Yeah, they're 7-0 against the spread. So you would have a shirt with like you know 2017 18 degenerate national champions. And then it would be like a logo. It's just concept that I've been thinking through. And then below that, it'll say like, you know, 12-0 against the spread.
Wearing stuff like that in the air, just let me tell you from experience, wearing stuff like that in the airport, you get free drinks. You get free, I mean, you get instant conversation with chicks. It's just amazing gear to wear in an airport.
Yeah. So keep your eye out for those. And I also wanted one with Herm Edwards face, and because my favorite saying is you play to cover the game.
I thought you were gonna say don't press send.
So thanks for running through the weekday games and going back through last weekend for a second time. I think it went okay for having to do this again. We will have part two of Degen and Juice week 8 out on Thursday on Audio Boom and on the Sports Action app. We'll also tweet it out. Like I said before, keep an eye out for CW9, Six Pack, the Futures Piece, Sunday Morning Coffee. Just go to Sports Action, track your bets, read the articles. We're doing some really great things over there. Spread the word. No ads either. Just a fantastic app for following your bets too. And I took some questions on Twitter. We will cover some of them on the second part of this podcast later in the week. And I saved them, so we might use them in future weeks as well. So you know, make sure you tune into the second part of this podcast so that we can prepare and have another profitable weekend. And we'll catch y'all later. Cheers. Some sequins gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this time.